Good morning. Welcome to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Graddick, your host. Delighted to have you with us on this beautiful Monday morning, and I hope everybody's going to have a great week. We got a little bit of a different show for you this morning. Instead of my usual award-winning show on politics, we've got weather tracker Kevin Hemphill. Kevin joined our team a little while ago, and he is now doing weather forecasting on six radio stations in West Georgia, East Alabama, and we're honored and pleased because of that, and we're more pleased the fact he's in studio this morning. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing great, and we're going to talk about all things weather this morning, which is going to be fun, and I'm going to shut up and really listen more than normal, and I will try not to quote the Declaration of Independence on you somewhere. I'll try to work that in. Anyway, before we get started about telling your story and all the things that you're accomplishing and getting you on board, bring us up to date on, is this thing now a hurricane or is it still a tropical storm? And her name is Debbie.
Yes. So Debbie, as of the 8 a.m. advisory, was still a hurricane. Winds of 75 miles per hour, moving to the north-northeast at about 10 miles per hour, which is very, very slow for a tropical system. And so it is inland. It just made landfall earlier this morning near Steinhatchee, Florida, which is in the Big Bend region in the what they call the Nature Coast of Florida. Very sparsely populated area, but still is going to bring some impacts because anytime anyone's impacted, it's still an impact. And so it's supposed to move north-northeast very slowly, and continue to just dump heavy amounts of rain on Southeast Georgia, Northern Florida, and into Southern South Carolina. Now, the track right now has it reaching Valdosta sometime late this evening and Savannah not even until tomorrow afternoon. So that kind of gives you an idea of how slow this system is moving. The impacts to us is actually not going to be that much because we're on the northwest side of this storm, and so we're getting a lot of the onshore winds that are coming through that. So really what happens with that is that you don't end up with a lot of, we're on the good side, as you call it. We don't get a lot of the wind, a lot of the rain. It is probably going to be a little bit breezy for the next couple of days. We might see a few spotty showers occasionally pop up, but when does that not happen in summer? But that'll be our impacts as far as locally here. But you go to Southeast Georgia, Savannah, Valdosta, up to Charleston. They're looking where they could end up anywhere by the time that this storm actually moves out of the area. They could be looking at anywhere up to 16 inches of rain.
So you said, I think, 75 miles per hour.
Yes.
Which is not the highest. But the thing here is that because it moves so slowly, the rain accumulates. And then
exactly.
You have the flooding. So most hurricanes move quicker than that, don't they? They're about 40 or 50 miles per hour?
It depends on the upper air currents and what's happening right now. And what's happening is the trough. Usually what happens is that when a hurricane, tropical storm, whatever it comes up, it interacts with some sort of either a frontal boundary or upper air steering currents. Well, the thing is about this system is that the upper air winds, the upper air steering currents are actually lifting away from this time. So there's a trough that's lifting away from us at this point. And what that's happening is that it doesn't really have anything to really kind of give it that extra push. So it all depends on if the steering patterns in the upper air, if the winds in the upper air are actually going to be able to move it faster than what typically would happen.
I would assume this was also impact like storm surges for those on the coast. It would be lesser.
Well, actually, for the ones that obviously anytime that there is a landfalling system, storm surge is always an issue. And so there is a storm surge. There is some storm surge that's happening in the Big Bend area right now. But no matter what, there's always that storm surge impact. Whether it's less or more really depends more on the winds and the winds pushing that water inland. So it's usually when you have the stronger storms that you see the higher storm surge. Because this one's a minimal hurricane level, tropical storm is up to 74 miles per hour. That's the the level 4 tropical storm, and then 74 miles per hour it becomes a hurricane. So this one's a very minimal Category 1 hurricane. So the winds down at the surface are not as high as they would be for like a Category 3 or Category 4 storm. That's when you really start getting concerned more with the storm surge. But either way, storm surge is still definitely an impact.
The greatest cause of death or injury in a hurricane is what? Is it the winds?
It's actually usually the flooding.
Is it really?
The flooding. It's usually the flooding, yes.
So how does that happen? People just stay at home and they
people staying at home, not evacuating like they should, not seeking the higher ground, or a lot of times people trying to get out and see the hurricane and find themselves driving into flooded roads. So, yeah, that's usually one of the greater causes of it.
Well, we're blessed that we're not. I think we've had some impactful results of hurricanes, but we don't get the brunt of it.
Mm-hmm. I've got, we can get to it when we talk a little bit more about me, but, I can remember some experiences, in my time, okay. Even here.
Well, let's do that when we come back and talk more about me.
Okay.
We'll talk about me too. Anyway, we're going to have a good time with Kevin Hippel, our weather tracker. So proud to have him on board, and we'll be back with more after this.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
The World Language Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined, curriculum-based track to acquire essential knowledge and skills for success in biliteracy fields of study. The successful completion of this journey provides colleges with a method to recognize a rigorous foreign language immersion experience for all students at Oak Mountain Academy. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Community Voice. Yes, we're talking about weather, and everybody's interested in weather. I certainly am. And we're very honored to have in studio Kevin Hemphill, who is a weather tracker. Kevin Hemphill, he's on 6 of our radio stations almost every hour.
Yeah.
You get more exposure on our radio stations than anybody else. I apologize. After Colin Worthington.
Yeah.
But after that, I mean, you're number two in terms of.
Probably after Michael too. He does a lot of the commercials.
He does a lot of commercials. So. Yeah, but he's not. I don't think he. We'll put him at 3. But you and Colin are all like everywhere, everybody, all times. The big question is, how in the world and when did you get interested in weather?
It's interesting. So for weather, for me, it's been kind of like a passion of mine ever since I was a kid. Originally, I wanted to be a meteorologist. That was my whole goal in life.
When did that start?
I was probably about 8 years old.
Okay.
And just remember just looking outside the window at our, we lived in Mableton at the time. And I just remember looking outside the window and just watching the storms pass by with awe. But I think what really solidified it for me was the blizzard of 1993.
Oh, yeah.
I just remember going to bed the night before, and I had a black and white TV sitting on top of the chest of drawers in my bedroom and watching Karen Minton giving the kind of talking about what we could expect. And I fell asleep. Next thing I know, I wake up the next morning to my first experience with thunder snow, like lightning and thunder in a snowstorm.
Did you ever figure out how they missed the forecast on that?
I don't know.
I don't know either, but they missed it.
They missed it. They missed it big time.
Yeah.
But it was just, it was interesting to just see all that. And after that, I was just like, okay, why is this happening? How are we having thunder and lightning in a snowstorm? And after that, I was hooked.
Mm-hmm.
Through that, just with experiencing different weather, I remember, middle school and Opal coming through at that mm-hmm. point, some of the impacts, because like we were talking about with hurricanes, before, is that, it can have some impacts inland, especially if it's tracking as fast as it can. I can remember, like I said, Opal I believe that was 94, 95, somewhere around there. Another instance I remember experiencing kind of hurricane-like experience here was Hurricane Ivan. The one that tracked right on the Alabama-Georgia state line. And I remember I was a college student at the time. I was living in Tyus Hall here at West Georgia. And I just remember they were like, you can either go home or you can ride it out. And I was like, well, going home for me is 30 minutes east to Douglasville. That's where my parents live now. And I was like, there's probably not going to be much of a difference for me, so I'm just going to ride it out here. But I just remember just Tyus Hall, because the rooms face outward, kind of like a motel, if you will, you can just hear the wind just going down the corridors of the hall. And it was just like, it was crazy insane. But that's how I got interested really in weather. And even though I didn't fully get through going to meteorology, I have my bachelor's degree in geography from the University of West Georgia, and graduated with that in 2007. And I thought I was going to take a different career track. I thought I was going to take multiple different career tracks throughout the years. Recently I had an opportunity come back where, through being able to do weather for the radio station, and just found an opportunity where I can add on a certificate to my bachelor's degree. And it's the certificate in weather forecasting, which I'm currently in the process of getting right now through Penn State's Global Campus. And so it's four classes over four semesters, and I'll be done with that at the end of next fall.
Excellent. Congratulations on
that.
Thank
you.
You mentioned Karen Minton. One of your heroes, and he's well respected throughout the region, is James Spann.
Yes.
And James is 2 years younger than me.
Yeah.
So we're not going to reveal that age. He's getting up there. So James will probably be retiring at some point. I think I read where he's already got plans for retirement, and he knows what he wants to do. And he started in radio when he was a kid.
He did.
Or a young person, whatever. So we're going to try to groom you to be the next James Spann. How's that sound to you?
I don't know if I could ever fill those shoes, because that man, he knows a lot. He's very well respected. I've actually met him in person two or three different times, as just down to earth as he can be. But he is serious about weather, and he's serious mostly about weather safety and mm-hmm. about making sure that people are safe. And that's one of the things that I, want to make as one of my goals in what I do is helping people have a basic knowledge of weather, what's the difference between a watch and a warning? What is, what should you do in the event of a tornado? How should you prepare for those sorts of things? It's important to me to help people become more educated about the weather, so that way it's not something that they can be, that they should be scared about. If we have storms, if we have tornadoes, that you are prepared in the event of those situations.
We started, I think it was around 2004, when we had a lot of tornadoes come through here. Mm-hmm. And we started doing continuous coverage. To give full credit, Jack Douglas really started that. And, of course, Michael's been a part of it ever since. But you and Michael team up whenever there's... Mm-hmm. What's the criteria y'all use to go on the air? And we finally have gotten... Still got a little bugs in it, but very good, though, where we can simulcast over our six stations. Mm-hmm. What criteria do y'all use when we do continuous coverage?
So right now our criteria is that anytime there is a tornado watch and a severe thunderstorm warning is issued for any area in within our listening area, so any county, usually Harrelson Heard, Carroll County, we go wall-to-wall coverage just in the case that a spin-up tornado were to happen, in case that goes, that ends up going to a tornado warning. Obviously, if it is a tornado watch and then we have a tornado warning, obviously we are definitely going to go wall-to-wall coverage no matter what. But the base minimum is definitely tornado watch with a severe thunderstorm warning issued for our area, and we'll go to wall-to-wall coverage. I usually have myself and Michael, we usually have our radars up. And we're watching radars. I have access to the National Weather Service chat, where I get to see if there's damage reports coming in from different areas. We'll also look at power outages. So if there's power outages happening in the area, we'll have Carroll EMC and Georgia Power's pages pulled up so we can check on that, and try to warn people as much as we can, as quickly as we can, about those. Now, the thing is about this is that there is pretty much with any radar, no matter what, with any radar, there is about a 2-minute delay. And that's because the radar has to take, when a radar works, it's basically taking scans of the sky. It's taking scans at different altitudes, different angles. And what it's doing is it's taking all those scans. It can take, I believe it's like sometimes up to 45, 50 different angles, different scans, and it's putting that together into a composite that it then sends out as the radar data. So that's the reason why there is a little bit of a delay. So a tornado can spin up, but we're trying to give that information as quickly as we can.
There's so much, and I guess I probably shouldn't say this, but it seems that way. There's so much of this that's intuitive. It comes after many, many years of observation. You know, you hear the stories about roofers or people who work outside all the time. They can sense that the weather is about to get severe, mm-hmm. where it's coming from. And I suppose after a lifetime of observation, you get that intuitive type sense.
You do.
And so you kind of know that the storm or the tornado is going to go this way and how fast and mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera.
And the thing is like the you know, you'll hear those taglines on television or on the radio. And, you know, they may sound silly, but they're true. You know, turn around, don't drown. You know, it can take only a foot of water to move a car. You know, it's when thunder roars, get indoors, because lightning, you know, when lightning flashes, dash inside. You know, I mean, those are the things. Like, lightning can strike up to 10 miles outside of a storm, mm-hmm. believe it or not. Mm-hmm. So it just depends on, the atmosphere and how that works. But that's the reason why storm safety is a huge thing.
What weather phenomenon tends to interest you the most?
Definitely severe storms. I do have a dream that I would love to go safely storm chasing in the plains one day. So I'd love to go see. I've never seen a real live tornado. You know, obviously I don't want to be as close as they are in like twisters, or, you know, I don't want to be like Mr. Reed Timmer and go intercept one, but definitely at a far enough distance on a flat piece of land where I can go and see that thing. So
every time I go down Smithfield Road, there was a house destroyed by a tornado, mm-hmm. and the house right next door was spared. Mm-hmm. And I was chasing stuff back then, and I interviewed the people next door. So, you know, I guess 20 years later, I'm still reminded every time when I drive by that vacant lot. I used mm-hmm. to have a remaining pipe, and they removed that, has been removed. Okay, let's take another break. We're going to be back with more with a weather tracker, Kevin Hemphill, after this.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
The Entrepreneur Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined, curriculum-based track to acquire essential knowledge and skills for success in business and leadership. Critical areas include identifying entrepreneurial characteristics, selecting a value position, and business model development. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Radick, your host. Delighted to have you on this beautiful Monday morning. And we're on the good side of this hurricane named Debbie, named after my sister. So anyway, how do you go about predicting and how do you come up with the forecast?
Well, believe it or not, as some people like to think, that we just, you know, draw up, you know, just look at the sky and say, oh yeah, it's going to do this. It's actually a bigger process than you would actually think.
But I understood that what y'all do was the weather today is going to be the same as yesterday.
Well, when you're in the South in Georgia, that's, you know, okay, especially in Alabama, you know, pretty much, especially in the summer, you can pretty much guarantee that's going to be the case. But the thing is that there is so much data that you have to, obviously, a lot of times that's being combed through. So a lot of times what I'll do is I'll be looking at the models and, more importantly, model ensembles. And that's basically ensembles that take the models all together and basically put together the best forecast based on those ensembles. Obviously, sometimes you'll have a little outlier. Like, for example, like we were just talking about, a couple of the models, particularly the GFS, the Global Forecast System, which is the global model for America, it actually has Debbie tracking right back over towards us over, you know, in the next couple of days, coming retrogression westward. Now, that's one model. However, that's why we look at model ensembles, because there are so many other models, and like the NAM, the European model, the Canadian model, they all have Debbie shooting back up the East Coast.
And when you say model, what is that? Computer generated, blah, blah, blah?
So the models, they run each day and at different time frequencies. But basically what it does is it's taking data from multiple different areas. It's taking data from airports. It's taking data from soundings, where they launch balloons to get radio soundings. That's taking all this data from the atmosphere, and it's putting together maps and predictions and things of that nature about what's going to happen over the long range for the forecast. And so it's taking all that data and putting it in a visual format.
So is AI going to improve weather forecasting?
You know, I don't know. To be honest, I'm not sure how much it can do because the atmosphere is such a unique situation that I don't think anyone could ever, I don't think even AI could probably figure out the atmosphere, because the thing is there's this reason why, you know, it can rain on your yard and your person, your neighbor three doors down may not get any rain. And that's because the atmosphere is so finite that it could be that it just, the atmosphere was just ripe enough to rain on top of your house, but not rain three doors down because the atmosphere there wasn't ripe enough. Because it can be that precise.
That's a good answer.
Yeah.
So what's your success rate? How accurate are you?
I don't know.
Reporters,
you know,
love,
we
save the hard questions for last after, you know.
I know, right? You know, it's one of those things that I would say.
Give me a number.
Oh, gosh. I would say right now, just, you know, it's a 50-50 shot. No. I mean, here's the thing. It's one of those things where I would say that, you know, I try to be as accurate as possible. So I try to shoot for 100%.
Okay.
But so maybe get about 80%.
Okay. 80%,
but of course,
that's
but
not
of
bad.
Course, but of course, you know, keep in mind, summer can really throw some wrenches into that.
Well, that was very brave of you to give a percentage. I didn't think, I thought I had to keep asking to nail you down. Now, just in the mode of James Spann, we hoped one day that you'll be out there, giving some weather instruction to different classes and getting you out in the public and inspiring some young kiddos to grow up and become weather trackers too.
I would love to do that.
Okay, so all you gotta do is contact the radio station for that. I want to thank you so much for what you're doing. It really has enhanced I think our programming, because we had John Weatherby for a number of years. He passed away, and he did it for a multitude of stations, but it's great to have someone that can focus exclusively on the West Georgia area and can be so close to us and be available when we need them. And basically you're on every hour, if not every half hour, on a lot of our stations.
Yep.
But you're on every one of them, and so all through the day, into the evening, early
yep.
morning, I mean, you're there, and you do three casts a day.
Yes, that's correct.
So they're fresh cast. Okay, well, again, thank you for coming in. We always go down into some sort of anxiety ridden nervous breakdown every time tornadoes and severe weather comes through, because we got too many wires and electronics, and when you get hit, we got hit this year, last year, and then 20 years ago, and it was tough, but it all worked out well.
Yep.
But anyway, congratulations to weather tracker Kevin Hemphill. Thank you for listening. Go out and make it a great day. You're in tune to WLBB Carrollton.